Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful.
Hi, Dave Bach here to talk about Chapter 11. In Chapter 11, we begin to discuss randomness and its many uses in statistics. We concentrate on using random numbers as a tool for being fair, for avoiding bias, and for investigating real-world phenomena through simulation. Here are 10 important points you'll want to keep in mind. 1. We look at models again. Now, simulation models. Students find these to be fun. Keep them focused on two important things. 1. The simulation must accurately mimic the real-world events we are investigating. And 2. The simulation is not the real world, so our model merely suggests what might happen. As always, these models are wrong, but if we're careful, they can be very useful. 2. There's a natural tendency for students to think that random is the same as equally likely. Be sure to dispel this misconception. Just because there are two outcomes, win or lose, your chance of winning the lottery is not 50%. The ActiveStats simulation tools can help here. These simulations almost never exhibit equally likely outcomes, but are truly, not pseudo, random. 3. Stress a step-by-step process for setting up a simulation. Too many students want to just start looking at random numbers without clearly specifying how they'll use them. Often they get confused between the basic interpretation of the individual components and the more extensive effort to model a complete trial. It's very helpful to keep these issues separate. For example, if we're tossing 5 coins to see how likely it is to get 4 or more heads, first we must decide how we'll interpret individual random numbers as heads or tails. Then we'll need to generate a set of 5 random numbers to see how many heads there might be. By thinking about first the components and then the trial, we can create a model using a series of random numbers to correctly mimic the situation of interest. 4. Be sure to make students clearly define their response variable in advance. They need to know what data to record to enable them to answer the original question. 5. After collecting data from several trials, we do what we've been learning to do so far, exploratory data analysis. Graph the data, then find some summary statistics, and then use this analysis to answer the initial questions posed. 6. In helping students interpret the results of their simulation, emphasize the difference between the model they are using and real outcomes. Students need to be clear that the observed frequency of 4 or more heads in the simulation is not necessarily what would actually happen when someone tosses real coins. By now, they should be getting good at the weasel words, saying things like, "My simulation suggests that if we toss 5 coins, we might see 4 or more heads about 15% of the time." 7. It's worthwhile to have students do simulations with random number tables, as well as with a calculator or computer. Especially important is attention to such issues as skipping irrelevant numbers or avoiding repeated numbers when the situation doesn't involve replacement. You can also send students to the internet for random numbers. Somehow, a table of random numbers generated on the internet seems more genuinely random than the version printed in the back of the book, which, by the way, was generated on the internet in the same way. 8. Use simulations to foreshadow the reasoning of statistical inference, developing the concept of statistical significance. We can let simulations help us decide what might realistically happen as a result of chance variation, and what outcomes we'd consider unlikely or surprising. For now, though, we only want to develop these ideas informally. The reasoning we use here will serve us well later on, but we don't need to mention inference formally or talk about hypotheses. 9. Don't be tempted to use the word probability. We are not yet discussing probability in any formal sense. It's enough to think about frequency of occurrence for now. 10. We'll close with a caution. You might have heard about an example based on Monty Hall and Let's Make a Deal. A number of applets and simulations based on this old game show have become popular. While it may be fun to have a game show type activity in class, this one is counterintuitive. We found that it doesn't teach probability very well, and is confusing even to professional statisticians. And it deals with conditional probability, a topic we won't see until Chapter 15. The Monty Hall problem can be simulated, but be careful if you choose to do it. It can lead to interesting discussions, but it's not likely to lead to better understanding of simulation or even of conditional probability or reverse conditioning.
Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.